Brethren, pray for me. Those are the words that Paul spoke in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25. But he also spoke and used that same expression in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1 and Hebrews 13 and verse 18. Paul often asked those with whom that he has worked with to pray for him. He wrote in Romans 15 and verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." In verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is just finishing up the armor of God. And in verse 18, he asked the brethren there that they pray for all the saints. He used the word supplications. But in verse 19, Paul said, "And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." You know, Paul came to realize that without prayers, without God next to him, that the trials and the tribulations that he went through would have hindered his ministry, that he would have also had been held back through fear. Prayer is a comforting thing. And it's even more comforting knowing that there are others who are praying for you. And Paul in Colossians 4 and verse 3, he said, "Withal praying also for us, that God may open unto us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." You know, last week John O'Neill had shared with us how certain sections of India have been restricted from the furthering of the gospel in those areas. A door was slammed shut by the government. And yet I'm sure that the brethren, both in India and here, those supporting congregations, have kept them in their prayers. And another door was opened. But that door can only stay opened because of the boldness of those who are delivering the message. And for that boldness, Paul asked for prayers. And we also need to be bold, and we should also be asking for prayers. By asking for prayers, Paul acknowledged that there was a need for divine help, and we need to also realize that we have a need for divine help. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we need this. Some things are out of our control. You know, sometimes we take on tasks and we look at it at one angle, and then once we get involved in the task, we realize that it's too big for us to handle. Especially too big to handle without the help of God. Sometimes just our own strength is not enough. In Ephesians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "And there is a plaque by the front door of our house that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I look at that every day going out the door, because there's some times where I just want to take a little detour because the bedroom door is right close to the front door and just go back in and pull the covers over my head. That sign and that verse makes me open up that door and go through it. We need to understand that God gives help to those who pray for it. Jesus, in finishing up his Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 7, in verses 7 through 11, he said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks shall find, and everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is it of you, when his son asks for a loaf, you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him. You know, it wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the Sadducees, it wasn't Pilate who said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always." It was Jesus Christ. None of these other men that would ever maybe uttered those words would have ever kept their promises, but Christ always does keep his promise. When you look at all of Paul's letters and you examine those things and you look at all his journeys in the book of Acts, you can see that God was always with Paul. He may not necessarily or exactly given Paul what Paul desired or what he wanted, but he was always there. He recognized this fact in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. He said, "But the Lord stood by me, and he strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now you can imagine a man who was given all these miraculous gifts, a man who was bitten by a poisonous snake and never died, a man who was severely beaten to the point that they thought he was dead and he was still alive. Here was a man that relied totally and wholly on God and not himself. We don't have those abilities. We may not even have the spiritual strength of Paul, so how much more do we need those prayers and that divine help? Even though Paul lived in that time of miracles, God did not supply all of their wants miraculously. Here the other week I talked about the thorn of the flesh that Paul had and that he had wrote about in 2 Corinthians 12. A thorn that God would not remove. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20, Paul's co-workers got sick. They stayed sick, or Paul wouldn't have wrote about it. In Acts 20 and verse 11, Acts 27 and verse 35, Paul, he had to eat. You know, he struggled in his journeys. He endured the hardships. He needed clothing. He needed shelter. And he depended on God's providence to provide these things. Jesus, in ending up chapter 6 in the Beatitudes after his discourse on worry and stress, he said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. This wasn't a promise given that God was going to handle all these things. It was a providential promise, not a miraculous one. You know, I'm sure that we've all at one time or another have asked God for something and prayed for something that has not happened. That doesn't mean he hasn't heard us. You know, Paul needed aid in regards to his personal safety and his protection. You know, I marvel when I look back at my life and some of the hardships I've gone through, and I read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm like, I had it made in life. I had it made. I made it through this life so far with a broken nose and a broken finger. That's it. A couple other little injuries along the way. But I wasn't spending my life journeying to and fro. I wasn't in perils of the rivers, and I wasn't in danger of robbers or from my own countrymen or from those outside of my countrymen. I wasn't in danger in the cities. I wasn't in danger in the wilderness. I wasn't in danger of the seas. I haven't been in danger by those who deliver false teachings. See, Paul went through all these things. But he knew where his safety laid. He knew exactly who was watching over him, and he recognized that fact. You know, the Bible teaches that God answers prayers. And you know, for the last, 9 years, since we've been holding a Monday Bible prayer meeting once a month, learned an awful lot about prayer. We examined many different scriptures, and we discussed many things, and we've had good discussions, good questions, not always having the answer, but we've had good questions, and we've learned a lot. And Jesus said in Matthew 21 and verse 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. John, he wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever you ask of him, because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight. When we are asking others for prayers, we are belaying on this belief. But for God to ask and to answer, we need to ask appropriately. It must be according to his will and not ours. 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. It says he hears. It didn't say he's going to answer it, but he hears us. We can't ask for our own lusts. For James 4 and verse 3, it says, you ask and you don't receive it because you're asking it wrong. The King James says, you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. This is like going out and buying a lottery ticket because we need money. And then we ask God to let us win. You know, one of the biggest catastrophes in this state was when they passed the lottery because so many people without the money to spend are buying the lottery tickets so they can hit it rich. It's not God's will. And so we can't get upset with God if we don't win. And if we do win, we can thank Satan for that, not God. But let him ask in faith, James writes in James 1 and verse 6, nothing doubting, for he that doubts is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. You know, when I think about prayer, I think about the widow and the unrighteous judge and how she was so persistent that he would hear her case and he kept dismissing her, but she kept at it till he finally heard her case, not so much because he had compassion, but that was the one way that she could leave. But God's not going to leave. In Luke 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. This is not a physiological problem. It's not passing out. It's getting weak. So we don't get weakened. You know, oftentimes people don't associate prayer with faith. But we're praying to someone that we can't see based on the words that he has written. When we ask others to pray, we are acknowledging that God answers our prayers. And brethren, we must trust in our brethren that they live righteously. For God answers the prayers of the righteous. James 5 and verses 16 through 18, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man avails much in its working. Then he uses an example, Elijah, a man of like passions with us. Then he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. These are the ones we want to be associated with. You know, we offer an invitation after every service. And we, part of that invitation is we're asking anyone who has needs of the prayers of the congregation to come forth. We have heard and seen things here that you can't explain it any other way. I remember not long after Vicki and I started attending here, Beverly Brown's sister was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, was given a certain amount of time to live, and asked for the prayers of the congregation, and the prayers were sent to God. And within 6 months, they couldn't find the cancer in her anymore. Brethren, I've never seen that before, to be perfectly honest. I know I've had prayers answered, but not on that scale. Not on that scale. The obedient receives that for which they've asked. Jesus in John 3 and verse 22, he said, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, if prayer didn't have a whole lot of meaning to God, I don't know why God spent so much time making sure all these examples of prayer and what to pray and how to pray were put in the Bible. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. This is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. God put an awful lot of effort over the centuries since the beginning of time to make sure that we understand what he wants and what he desires from us. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15, verse 29, "Jehovah is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." You can see, I'm sure, the common denominator in these verses. Obedience to God's will and his commandments. When someone asks prayers from us, we should consider it a privilege and an honor. And we should fulfill that. If they are honoring us and allowing us a privilege to pray for them, we should consider it because they are looking at us and saying, "These are righteous people. These are the ones that I want praying for me." We don't go to our neighbors who are atheists and ask them to pray for me, do we? We know how that will go. I'm sure we ask those of our families and things like this that they pray for us. But brethren, this is where it's at right here. When we ask for prayers, we are acknowledging our need for divine help and that we are dependent on God's providence so much. But if we don't believe that he will answer our prayers, then why should he? We believe that he answers prayers, and we put our trust in our brethren, that they live righteously so that their prayers will be heard. Then we have the benefits of walking through this life aided. Where is your prayer life? Where is your hope and trust in God? You know, sometimes as a child of God, we take things for granted. Maybe we don't pray as often as we should. Maybe our prayers come at a time where we need it the most, but when the times are rolling by and things are going well, we kind of neglect those things. And maybe that is the time that we need to pray the hardest to make sure that when the bad times roll around, that we are shored up and anchored firm and deep. If you're not a child of God, you're missing something that was of great comfort and aid. You're missing a God who will listen to your prayers. Don't be that individual. Accept the Lord. Accept His words. Believe those words. And obey those words and His gospel. Through repentance and confession, through baptism, God will open His ears to you. He will hear your pleas. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe life has been causing some struggles for you. And you need the prayers of the faithful. We want to offer you that opportunity tonight. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.